Hello, hello. You're listening to another episode of Inside the Tech Ecosystem, a podcast where we bring you fun and insightful topics on tech and its ecosystem in Nigeria. I'm your host, David Chuka. I'm joined by my co-host, Emmanuel E-Spending. We're having this conversation the other day where I said, Emmanuel is the most European Nigerian I know right now.
That's so wrong on many levels.
It felt really bad, you know. It's been what, a year? A year
just since 1 year. It's very wrong on many levels.
Oh man, how you been, man?
I've been good. I am currently in the middle of a move, so things are a bit like
oh,
shaky. I'll be all right.
That's something we actually should talk about one of these days.
Yeah, for sure. So, spoiler alert, I'm moving to another country. So it's been like a rough 1 year. Not completely so, rough, but...
So European of you, man.
How is that European? Anyways.
To move countries wherever you want.
That's more Nigerian.
Oh my God. All right.
Anyways, okay. Yeah.
You might even ask me how I'm doing, but I'm doing okay. I don't like to give too much.
If that's the response you give me, then I wouldn't ask.
I don't like to give too much off, you know. I like to surprise the crowd, you know. Never let them know your next move, literally and figuratively. Do you get it? No?
Nope.
Okay. All right. In this episode, we have a very interesting guest. All our guests are pretty interesting anyway. But this one is very interesting because she's doing things I dreamt of doing when I was her age, right? And we're really glad to have her around. We are talking about Helen. Helen is going to fully introduce herself, but I'm just going to give a brief intro about Helen. Helen is a software engineer and a hardware engineer. Helen, am I correct? Like, she does both?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. And Helen is building some very interesting stuff, right? I found Helen on the internet, on Twitter, actually. And I was like, oof, I'd like to talk to this lady, get to know about her work, and just, you know, learn about, you know, what she's doing, what got her interested in what she's doing, and a couple of other things. So, yeah, we brought her to the podcast today. Talk to us. So, Helen, please, we're just going to let you introduce yourself a little bit and then, you know, we can move ahead with our conversation. We're going to have a very interesting conversation today.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for having me here in your podcast and sure, I'm very sure, happy sure. to join you guys.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm Helen and I am a software developer. Okay, I'm a Nigerian from Ebonyi State.
Okay.
And I studied software engineering in a computer school where I got an advanced diploma certificate.
Nice. Okay, so yes. The truth is we've brought a lot of software developers here today on this podcast, but Helen is quite different because Helen programs hardware as well, right? So I'd like for Helen to tell us a little bit about her journey. How she got started in tech and, you know, how she's gotten to where she is right now. So, Helen.
Okay, well, I think I started my journey in tech in the year 2020. Yeah, that was the COVID-19 period. So that was a year after I finished secondary school. So when I was in secondary school, I've always had this, you know, like I wanted to build smart stuff. I wanted to solve problems in the world using softwares and all that. So that was actually what drove my interest in tech. Though I didn't know how everything used to work. Like I didn't know the coding and all that. But I think through my brother, I got introduced to the school where I got my certificate, yes. So I started attending this school.
What school was that?
And the name is Aptech.
Oh, Aptec. Yes. I know there's an Aptec in Lagos. What Aptec are you talking about? Was it the Aptec in Lagos you went to?
The one in Enugu State. Yes. They Enugu have different State, branches wow. in the States. So I attended the one in Enugu State.
No, that's cool.
Yes. That's so cool. That's cool. The program was supposed to run for 2 years. Yes. So that was how I got into tech. And honestly, the journey wasn't so easy because like most of the people I was seeing there were all guys. So oh, wow. we're just like two girls in my class.
Oh, wow.
So, but then I was like, oh, I'm
did
this
that,
kind
did
of
that discourage you in any way?
Yeah, so I'm a competitive person. So I didn't want to be left behind, even though I was a girl. I didn't want to be left behind. But I just tried to put in extra work after classes. I tried to do things on my own. At night, I tried to go far, like beyond what my teachers has taught me. And before I knew it, like I started doing better. So I would say that actually I did better, even more than some of the guys there.
Okay.
So that was it, yes.
All right. So like what were you learning at Aptec while you were there? Like were you following a particular stack, a web development or?
Well, Aptec is a software engineering school and they will like teach you most languages, yes. So they will teach you many languages. Though some people will come to the school and then they will want to follow a particular stack. So they would like to pay more attention to the web development and then they will leave with us. But I know the school fees like was not a small money. So I wanted to get the experience, get experience in every language. At least when I'm done, I would then focus on the one I think I prefer. So that was how I got to do many languages. I learned C there. I learned C++. I learned Java. I learned PHP. I learned C#. So and each of these languages, I made sure that I at least built a project with them just to help me to understand it more. Yes.
That's nice. So tell us, what was the first thing you ever built? Like, you know, first program or first project you ever built?
Okay, the first program I ever built was, I think that was HTML CSS. So, yes. So after teaching us HTML, I think when they were teaching us HTML and CSS, I decided to try out something on my own. And the first thing that ever came to my mind was designing the periodic table. Yes.
Wow.
I just made a design of the periodic table. That was my first ever project on my own.
Okay. Wow, that's interesting. I think I also remember the first thing I ever built. I mean, still have the HTML file save. Like, if I look for it.
Obviously, what you built was trash, so we don't need to hear it.
Emmanuel, no one asked you that. No one asked you that. But Helen, I want to ask, actually, because I think I was really intrigued in what you were doing. Like, when I found you on Twitter, I was really intrigued in what you were doing because you were writing code for hardware, basically. I think you built a fingerprint sensor system at one point or something like that.
Yes.
You built a couple of things, right? And
yes.
I'm curious, you went to Aptec and I don't think Aptec was teaching, you know, some of these things. So I want to ask what kind of drove you or motivated you to go to that path where you started getting materials and sourcing materials and writing code for these hardware systems. So what was the motivation to do that for you?
Okay, well, Aptec was more of a software school. They didn't really teach us that hardware day. But I think because once in a year, like 1 week in a year, we usually have this students week. Okay, where that is the only break we do have in Aptec, the students week.
Okay.
So where we students, we just take some break and do some other activities, maybe gaming and all that, just other activities. Then that particular year, that was 2021, that particular year during our students week, the manager there called some IoT guys, some engineers, to come and do a workshop for us for that 1 week. So instead of using that week to just play around, we wanted us to use it to do that workshop. And that was the first time I ever heard of IoT. So during the workshop, they kind of introduced us to what IoT is. They showed us some things like what IoT can be used for and all that. Okay, so they showed us like some kinds of robots, and I was like, wow, this is really nice, building smart stuff like this. Okay, so I was trying to follow up with the lessons and everything. I didn't want to miss that lesson. I was like, maybe I will really follow this path. And after that, before they left, they had to sell the starter kits to some of us, even though I didn't have enough money that time. I had to go and tell my mom, please, even if it's to borrow me 20K, just give me, let me get this starter kit. That's so nice. That was how I got this starter kit, and they left. So with the knowledge they gave us there, I started trying out some things on my own with the starter kit. So that was how I kept advancing on IoT. Though that 2021, that was when I first decided to try out this fingerprint project. So it was just like a baby trying to do something very high. Okay, so I was really choked. Like that particular project messed up everything for me, because I reached a point where I didn't know what else I would do. So I reached a point where I didn't know what else I would do. And the whole team made me to even lose interest in the IoT. I didn't want to do it again because I felt like it's no longer responding. So even in programming, I didn't even want to code again. I was just tired. So, but you then
your breaking point, basically.
Yes, exactly. I was just like, well, let me just try leaving everything. Let me just try out other activities. Maybe the things I feel like I've always wanted to do, let me do them and let me see. So I had to travel. That was the Christmas period, and I had to travel. I made sure I didn't go with my laptop so that nothing would tempt me to touch it or code or anything. So during that time, all I was just doing was watching movies. And I was just watching movies. And before 2 weeks, I got tired of the movies. I was like, I want to code. So, and I got really like better ideas, and I really wanted to implement them. So when I came back, I started coding again, but still I didn't go to IoT. So I think it was November last year that something just came to my mind. I was like, let me go back to this IoT again and try out something else. So that was how I tried it out again. And this time around, I didn't go to that high project. I just went to the one that would be a bit like easier for me. And that was the bulb, the photo resistor bulb, that ons at night and then switches off during the day. So that was the project that brought me back again. And then I was like, wow, this project worked. Then let me do
more. You're surprised.
That was how I exactly. So that was how I now built the clap bulb, and I continued till when I felt like I'm already getting used to this. Then I started the fingerprint project again, and this time around I got it.
Nice.
Okay.
So apart from learning at AppTech and doing those things on your own, what else? Which other way did you use to learn, like hardware and software? Were you in any kind of community, or did you have any kind of group that motivated you into continuing this path?
Okay, well, when I was in AppTech, I kind of had a group of those who are interested in hardware. So we planned to build so many things together, and we were learning together. We were working on something together. And it actually helped me to keep improving my hardware skills. And then I joined the Arduino community, where any problem you have on the Arduino, you can be able to share it there, and you just get answers there. You'll be able to see the problems that others have had before and how they solved it. And
is it the global, Arduino community? Or
yes, the global Arduino community. Yes, the global Arduino community, Arduino.cc. Okay. Yes. So, and YouTube too helped me. So,
I think why he is asking if it's the global Arduino community, because Emmanuel also had Arduino dreams at some point. Emmanuel, what happened to your Arduino dreams?
Let's not talk about that. Today, okay?
No, I really want to hear that.
So for me, I grew up wanting to be an engineer, but somehow mm-hmm. my path led me to do computer science and enter software. So I always wanted to go back to that my childhood dream to like do electronics. So I always had an idea to do, you know, hardware programming. So I started trying, Raspberry Pi. That didn't work out for long. I tried Arduino. But every time I tried, there was always some software project that was more interesting for me to do. So I ended up abandoning Arduino. So now I've parted it until, I don't know, until forever.
Wow.
But maybe this episode would inspire me to pick it up again. Who knows?
Yeah.
I pray.
Arduino.cc.
Yeah. So the reason why I asked about the community thing is that a lot of times, like when people get into tech, it's kind of difficult for them to get past a specific level or threshold. So they start off by watching tutorials, you know, you get the high of, so this program is not so hard after all. They start it, and then they get to a point where it's like, it's so difficult for them to move to the next stage. And usually it makes sense for them to join a community that will encourage them. Okay, there are many people struggling like you. You know, sometimes you read about that stuff online. We see things like, oh, you're not alone. But it's different when a real person tells you you're not alone. So the community is very important. That was what I was asking, mm-hmm. if there was one, like in Nigeria.
In Nigeria, yeah.
So is there one, or is just the online one that you've been surviving on?
No, it's just the online one.
I mean, she must be a very motivated individual.
You know, it's not like I'm in a school where I'm going to see so many of my mates who are really interested in this. Okay. Yeah. And the people interested in this are just limited. They are limited in number. Okay. So it's not like I will really find them. So I just have to make up my mind that this is not something I can find anyhow.
Yeah.
Although I think that there exist some of them, maybe we can share those with you. Because I know when I was in Lagos, I had a friend who was into hardware programming, and he had attended a few meetups, so to say. So there should exist some of those, because hardware is probably more fun when you do it
with
a group of people than software, because you are actually seeing what you're building. It's not like you're writing code and pushing it to GitHub or something.
Oh, yeah, backend engineer. So, I mean, front end people, we see what we build. So it's okay. It's okay. It's cool. But like Helen's story has really, it just made me think, because, you know, it's something that she was really determined to do right from the get go, right? She really, really wanted to do it. So, it's almost like, look, like that curiosity part of it is something that you should really pay attention to. Like, she's really curious, right? And I think even if you think that there are not a lot of communities, right, all you need to do is to find as many people as curious that are curious like you are, right? Communities don't have to create, don't worry. If there are many curious people in a room, community has started just like that. Like,
that's true.
It's very easy, yeah.
And so, Helen, like, when you build your project, you need materials, right? You need, for example, you need a bulb, you need a couple of wires, you need the Arduino board itself. How do you source for those materials? Do you buy them yourself, or is there like a process for you? Let's say you start a new project. How do you, you know, find each piece of the puzzle for this project?
Well, first of all, when I want to start a new project, I think of the components needed. Then, most components, I might not be able to find it near me, locally in the market. So I will either order from Jumia or I will order from AliExpress.
Oh, wow.
AliExpress saving lives. Damn.
Right. How long do you wait for your items to get here from AliExpress?
Well, that makes me to like plan ahead. Okay. So like now I know the project I want to handle next month. I know the project I want to handle in 2 months' time. So I start now to plan. Okay. This is what I need, except I don't have the money at hand. That is the only thing that would like delay my order.
That's interesting.
I wait for like 3 weeks, 1 month to get my order from AliExpress. The last one I ordered, I think I waited for up to 2 months. I don't know why.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
maybe they held your shipment at custom.
Yeah, at custom. That's interesting. Planning ahead like that. I want to ask, you talked about how you took a break, which is also a very important factor. There's so many things to learn from what Helen has been saying. Actually, she took a break for a long time, didn't code, just wanted to rest. And then by the time she came back, her brain was refreshed enough to kind of like just get back into it without much hassle, right? And, you said you got started with the smaller projects first, the light bulb thing, before you went back to the projects that chased you away in the first place. I want to ask first,
exactly.
You got that project to work afterwards, right?
Yes.
Interesting. That's cool. So I want to ask what motivated you to start sharing videos, because, we hear about building in public all the time, right? We hear about building in public all the time. When I started learning how to code, I used to hear about building in public all the time, but I never did because, I don't know, a lot of people are not going to believe this, but I'm very shy on the internet. I'm not shy in person, but I'm shy on the internet.
I don't believe you.
I'm serious. So it was really hard for me to post my stuff on Twitter, like do 100 days of code or something like that. But like if someone goes to your page, right, they would see a couple of videos which you've already uploaded, and the videos are really exciting. I wish people will see Helen talking about the project that she's working on. She's all smiles and she's so excited to share. Sometimes she even drops a teaser. She's like, guess what I'm building tomorrow? Yeah, like, okay. it's almost like a trailer. So everybody gets excited. Okay, what is she going to share? Right? So like, what exactly motivated you to start sharing videos on the internet and, putting yourself out there?
Okay, well, the truth is, like, you're just doing all this on your own. That was just what I felt like. If I'm doing all this on my own, then nobody will even know I'm doing this. I will not be able to connect with the right people that I'm supposed to connect with.
Okay.
But as I'm putting these projects out there, I'll get to, like, see people who are really interested in this. I'll get to, like, meet like minds, people who are really interested in what I'm doing. And I will get to connect with them. They will know that, yes, Helen is doing this. And I will get to connect with them. And also another thing is to inspire others. Okay, because I see that not many women are doing this. Even me as a girl child doing this, I know like some things that I have passed through. Yes, I know like some limitations and everything. So I just felt like, okay, let me put in this up here. And above all, the only thing that motivates me is putting these projects out there. Okay? Because when I put it out, people are like, wow, Helen, what are you building next? It motivates me to even think of something next to build, even when I don't want to build something else.
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel like people are always rooting for me. People are always looking out to see what Helen wants to build. So, and it will keep me building. It will keep me like building. It will keep me inconsistent in everything.
Okay. So I want to ask, I feel like currently you work as a software engineer. Correct me if I'm wrong though.
As a web developer currently.
You work as a web developer, right? Okay. So so I'm guessing like IoT for you is mostly it's like a hobby at the moment.
Yes, it's like a hobby.
Yes. Yeah. But like, you do know that there are possibilities that someone would see some of the stuff you've done and would be like, oh, would you like to work, you know, in an IoT firm or something? Like, if that happens, like, would you be willing to take that job?
Why not? Why not? Okay. I'm so getting to like love everything, even more than the software.
That is exactly what I wanted to ask. So thank you for answering that for me. I'll just ask if you now currently prefer, you know, building stuff, you know, than writing for the web and all of that.
Honestly, these days I'm even like the spirit flowing in my room is just the spirit of IoT. Because I have a couple of web projects. to do. But once I'm in this room, like, I'm just seeing all these components. I feel like just building. I don't want to do those web projects. So when I want to get serious, I just carry my bag and go out.
I understand. Your room has been programmed for for smart building. Right.
Exactly.
Can you tell us? So I'm going to guess you keep up with some of the latest trends in IoT and hardware programming. Yes. Can you tell us what are some of the latest developments? Like, you know, for us, we're in the software world. So if there was a new framework or if there was something cool that everybody was talking about, we'll kind of already, you know, have an idea of what it is. So like, if we're talking to, you know, rookies, newbies, can you tell us some of the latest developments in IoT currently that not the average person doesn't know about?
Okay, well, it's just all about the robots, doing extraordinary things. Yes. Mm. So I was just kind of watching the Boston's dancing robot the other day and I was like, wow. Even how the robots like get the beat and everything, it even dances more than you, Seth.
Oh, sorry, what did you call it?
The Boston's dancing robots.
I think it's like this group in this university, right?
MIT.
They work, not MIT. Boston Dynamics, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. So they basically work on. They're trying to push, you know, advancement of robots and all this stuff.
Oh wow!
I think I've seen it dance. It's pretty grim.
Wow, like for someone who has tried something out, I'm like, how did they even come? I'm just trying to get the whole logic on how they built that. And I'm like, wow. So just robots trying to do things in an advanced way.
Mm. Okay.
So I just looked it up now. So Boston Dynamics is a robotic company that was founded in 1992 as a spin-off from MIT. So yeah, you're correct.
Oh.
It's from MIT, not another school. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. So like, are these robots, are they connected to AI yet? Because I believe those are the ones that are going to take over the human race at the end of the day. I don't know if are these robots connected to AI? Should we be scared? Because they can already dance better than we can do. So like, what's next?
Well, the popular Sophia said that she's going to replace you guys.
Oh wow! I thought that was a skit. Is that real?
That's real. She has a legal.
That's real. She said she's going to replace you.
Recognized legally.
Okay, that's scary. That's quite scary.
She attends interviews
robots.
Just like you.
She attends what?
She attends interviews just like you. Yeah.
Oh my god! Oh wow!
In the end is definitely near, Sha.
Probably, most likely. Yeah.
So what's the coolest thing you've built? I'm guessing it's the fingerprint thing, or is there anything else that you've built that
is that the coolest thing? Stuff. Yes, that's the coolest thing I think I've built. Like
okay, so what's the second coolest since we've talked about that already?
I'm really going to classify this coolest project based on how hard it was for me.
Okay, all right. That's fair.
Okay, Niha. The second one was actually the fire alarm system stuff. Yes.
Oh, wow. Can you tell us more about that, please?
That's an automatic fire extinguishing system whereby it senses, like, fire around the house. Wow. And then it will pump water to the roof of the house where the water sprinkles down. Yes.
Oh wow.
So I just
I feel like you're just casually mentioning this amazing project.
you've not seen that on my page.
Because as you're mentioning that, I'm just scanning through my entire career. I can't even find anything close.
You might have been, wait, that's a lie. Stop.
No, but that's the truth. Those are amazing projects. And in my mind, like, one of the first things that I was thinking of is, if you can build these things as side projects, what stops you from pursuing like large scale projects where you build these things, for example, maybe get a contract with the government or some kind of contract that allows you to build these solutions into things that everyday Nigerians can make use of? Because I feel like there are many of these solutions that are already out there in the Western world that if we can just, you know, implement here, it will be really, really good because it's coming from a local person, like someone that lives and someone has grown up in this side of the world. So have you ever considered doing something like that?
Well, I've considered that, but I'm not really going to build a product, just a product on my own, because I know how costly it is. So for now, I'm just trying to like source some less expensive components and then build upon it. Okay. So though the next project I have in mind is actually going to be the most expensive project I've ever done.
Yo, can't wait. Anyway. Looking forward to it. I still want to hear about the fire alarm system though. So you said it detects fire, pumps water, and then that kind of like.
So yes, like the water sprinkles in the house.
You actually got this to work?
Yes, I got a prototype of it. Yes, okay. I kind of like made a fire, the sensor, like it sensed the fire and then it activates the pumping machine, which then pumped water. I connected a pipe from the pumping machine to like somewhere above, okay? Somewhere that can actually splash water down to quench the fire. Yes.
Okay.
That's interesting because in my mind, anytime I think about like hardware project, I'm always thinking like very small scale, like a toy car, some kind of small thing. But you're talking about connecting to a real system, like a pumping machine. That's incredible. So this fire detector thing, does it detect fire or just heat in general?
It detects fire. Yes, real fire. That was actually my problem. The problem I had with this project.
How to get it to detect fire.
And not just heat, right?
Yeah.
It could also be like a smoke detector because usually if there's wildfire, then there's...
Yeah, I actually had that problem because like, you know, the sun rays, the heat from there. So I took it outside to like do the testing and everything, but the sun rays, it would just be raising like a false alarm. I don't know why this is doing like this. Inside the house, it's working. But when I go outside, like, what is going on? Okay, so honestly, that was when I knew that the only problem that doesn't have a solution is a problem not known. Because like I didn't know what was actually going on. What's happening? Once I want to shoot the video outside, it starts missing a false alarm.
So did you fix that? Did you solve that?
Yes, I actually started reading, like I stayed checking online, though it was hard for me to even find out that the sun was actually what was affecting it. So I read and I was like, oh wow, so it was actually the sun. That means it was actually from maybe the kind of sensor you used when you want to do this kind of project. You have to use a kind of sensor that checks if this is real fire, like the rays of the sun, if that is what is affecting it.
Or is it Holy Ghost fire?
Emmanuel, please, let this be the last time. Please, let this be the last time. Thank you very much. I mean, that is so dope. I think that there's a lot of transferable knowledge. I mean, it's both engineering, whether it's software or hardware, right? There's a lot of transferable knowledge from even writing software to like, because sometimes you encounter some problems during coding and you're like, where is this even coming from? And then you have go back to the foundation to like read a lot of stuff. That's so annoying, right? So I completely understand, actually.
There is one curious question I have. So one of the impediments of learning IoT or learning hardware in general is the knowledge of physics or chemistry or basic science. Do you think it's possible for someone who doesn't have a science background, like somebody who went to arts class or someone who went to commercial class, do you think it'd be difficult for such person to get into hardware engineering compared to them going into software engineering?
Well, in hardware engineering, you're going to see mathematics, you're going to see physics there. So I would really say that it is the positioning of your mind. Even if you are an art student, you didn't do all this, the problem is, are you willing to learn each one you come across? Because you should already position your mind that, yes, I'm going to see physics here and I'm ready to deal with any physics I see here. I'm going to see mathematics. I'm ready to deal with it. So once you're ready to learn upon anyone you come across, then fine, you can go for it.
So it means you might take a longer time since you don't have the required foundational knowledge.
Well, not really take a longer time because some people will be like, if you don't know mathematics, don't come. And some people will go and start killing themselves, learning mathematics from scratch. Yeah. Okay, well, but what I believe...
No, I don't think that's... I think that's extreme, like, to start everything from scratch. So you already said it, that, okay, so if you're trying to learn something and there's something you don't know in that thing, then you go back and learn just that thing, not the entire physics, because...
Exactly. And the whole thing is, when you're doing it practical like this, when you're doing the practical aspect, it will be easier to learn. Because, you know, those physics they taught us that time, like, it is now that I'm seeing the applications. And I'm like, wow, if it was now that they were teaching us those physics, I will understand everything. Because I'm already coming across it, like, practically. So I'm already seeing the practical implementations of all those things. So when you come across just like this electricity, negative and positive, when you come across things like that, then you can just do some research. Okay, this. And with the practical you're already doing, you will learn faster, safe.
That's really nice. And are there specific websites or resources where you usually go to get this knowledge? So let's say you have some trouble understanding, let's say, optics or electricity in general. Is there any specific website you run to, or is just like Google every time?
I actually Google every time, but there's this particular website that actually always gives me what I want. And I've forgotten the name, that's robotics something.
Okay, if you remember during the episode, you can let us know so we can add it to the notes. Yeah.
Okay.
And what opportunities do you think are available to hardware programmers in Nigeria? Because I know, like, abroad, you know, like Boston Dynamics, for example, you can go and work there, build those nice robots. But in Nigeria, you don't, at least from my own point of view, I don't see many hardware companies. So do you think there are many opportunities? And if so, what kind of opportunities are there for people who are learning this hardware thing in Nigeria?
And are there people sliding into your DMs? Okay, that sounds wrong. Are there people reaching out to you for like job, Helen, would you like to come work for us? Maybe there's an internship role or something. Like, for people that are very interested in hardware programming, should they just give up and start doing software because, you know, there are not a lot of job opportunities? Or have you been seeing you know, it rises in the amount of messages you get asking you for your hardware skills?
Well, the only thing is, if you're coming into this field, you should be coming in with a future perspective, not a present time perspective. That's what I would say.
You're so positive.
All right, so why do you think so?
So that is what I would say, because right now there are not many companies. Like, I think there are not many companies doing this in Nigeria. But the thing is, one, this is what you love, go for it. Yeah, the second thing is, you know that...
How will you eat?
exactly why this is for the strong-hearted. So that's why even me, like, I find it very difficult to teach someone robotics. Because I feel like, are you really serious? I want to see... because I know that this field is very, like, it's very easy to give up on the way. It's very, very easy. So by the time you order components and everything, but if this is what you love, if this is what you have the passion for, no matter what, like, you will not give up. And those are the kind of people I try to find. And those are the kind of people I try to work with, because I don't want to, like, waste my knowledge on someone that tomorrow the person will, like, leave it and go. So honestly, like, if you're coming into this field, you should be coming in with a future perspective. Presently, there are not many companies doing this. But the whole thing is that we know that there is a future in this. We know. Okay? And if you have the skills now, maybe at the time you find yourself leaving Nigeria. Yes. By the time you find yourself maybe leaving Nigeria, you know that.
Outside.
Yes.
Outside the ecosystem.
Exactly.
You know that, yes. Like, you have this kind of knowledge and you can build upon it there. So, that is just it.
So, like, do you have dreams of doing exactly that? Maybe leaving Nigeria and going full-time into hardware?
Who doesn't have that dream in Nigeria?
let's lower our voices. Thank you.
All right. So, Helen, tell me more about your speaking involvement, your speaking engagement, because I've seen you a couple of times. I think you came down to Lagos for Oscar Fest. I'm not sure if you were a speaker at Oscar Fest, but I've seen you speak at a number of events. Oh, you were? Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I've seen you speak at a number of events. Thank you. And how's that been for you? What was the motivation to get started speaking? Because right now, you know, you're putting out videos. I don't know if you write as well, but, like, you're putting out videos, you're speaking, and I also believe you're teaching in some way. Maybe some people that want to get into robotics, you kind of set up an easy class or something for them, and you teach. So how has speaking been like for you? Tell us about your first speaking engagement. How was that like for you?
Well, the thing is that speaking is actually, let me say, one of the things I was born with. I love teaching. Yes. I love teaching. I can remember that time when I was little, like, I would kind of gather chairs and start teaching them. Anytime I go to school and I come back, whatever they taught me in school, I'll just start teaching the chairs. So for you as a human being, you want to come and sit on those chairs.
I need to cut you short. You were teaching chairs.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's part of it.
So this future thing, you're actually practicing it. Nice. That's good.
And the worst part is that you as a human being, you want to come and sit on those chairs and learn. I wouldn't want to teach you. Because I feel like you are coming to make trouble. You don't just want to learn. So I prefer teaching those non-living things then. Like, so I was just trying to use that to build myself and others. And, like, teaching is always what I loved. So I think the first teaching engagement I had was in the Developers Festival at Ado Ekiti. Yes, that was the first speaking engagement I had. And I talked about data science there. I just gave, like, a basic introduction of data science. Maybe people that are really studying statistics in school that don't know where they're actually going to. Maybe you can consider data science, data analysis, and all that. So, and I've actually spoken in some couple of places, both in the Women Tech Makers event. I think the last one was at Onisha, where I spoke about building and sustaining a career in tech. And at Oscar Fest, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Are you serious, Onisha?
Yeah, I'm from Onisha.
Are you serious? Wow.
I'm serious. Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Yeah,
what about Onisha, you, Emmanuel?
Emmanuel is from... I'm is from Europe.
No. I'm not Igbo.
It's from Europe. From Europe.
I'm not from Europe. Like, I'm from Kwara State.
Wow. Okay. That's nice.
Sorry. Continue your story about women tech makers.
Okay. So, and my last speaking engagement was at Oscar Fest. Yeah. And I spoke about IoT. Not really speaking. Okay. That was a workshop. Yes. That was a workshop. Oh, wow. Because I missed it. Because I kind of like built some stuffs with them. I tried out the Arduino with them. Yes.
Oh, that's nice. That's really nice.
I should have been there. Maybe I wouldn't that's be really right. Nice.
Please, just go. Just go, man. That's nice. We'll probably include, maybe if some of your talks are online, we'll probably include that or include those in the show notes.
Okay.
So I want to ask, have you started adding AI to your work?
Well, not really.
Or using AI? Really.
Oh, using AI really. In general? Not really. Okay.
No, not really.
That's yes. You are still fighting it. Don't worry. I'll give you a few weeks. So what do you think about like the hardware, like on the global stage? What role do you think it will play in terms of, I don't know how to frame the question, but for example, in software, right, people say things like software is going to be, you know, the penetration of software is going to be in everything, government, you know, everyday stuff, everyday life, personal life, you know, TikTok, social, everything like that, software is there. But in terms of hardware, of course, smartphones have already eaten the world, because in the first place, for you to run software, you need, you know, some kind of device, and smartphones have done that. Do you think there will be more devices? For example, Apple released this, their Apple Ojigo, what's it called? Apple Vision Pro, which is like $3,500. That aside, there are many
big
more
boys
companies,
and big girls alone.
Many more companies are building these devices, Apple Watch, you know, watches. Many of these things. What do you think the future will look like? Are we going to have like many more of these products, even the ones that we cannot really think of today, or is going to be like less because people start complaining about having too many hardware things to carry around?
Well, I'll say that the hardware is actually the main thing helping humans. Yes, that's actually the main thing helping us to ease the stress and everything. So as far as we can build something that can actually help us, like just like the aeroplane. Okay, so just think about traveling to a far place without the aeroplane and all that. Mm. So like the hardware is actually the main thing. So the hardware is actually the main thing helping humans, like it's actually like assistance to humans. And I know that in the future the hardwares are going to be solving more problems. Okay, it's just like all these blind people, they're trying to produce some things that will at least help them to walk on their own, will help them to move on their own and all that. So it's just trying to identify real problems that people encounter and then producing things that will help them. So, and in the future, there will be a lot of things, because when we think about it, we still have a lot of things to do.
Yeah. So,
I have this very interesting idea that just came to my mind in terms of like the progress of hardware compared to software. So today, mostly if you ask an average person, they'll tell you, oh, of course, software is like...
Software, know, yes.
But the thing is, people don't really... Like, hardware is so commonplace that people forget that they exist. For example, in medicine, there's so many things, there's so many breakthroughs in hardware that has made medicine like very, very, let's say...
That's advanced medicine.
Yes, exactly, right. You can't scan, you know, x-rays, what's that thing called, MRI, ECG, all those things are like mostly hardware. Software is catching up in some of these spaces, right?
Yeah.
In those hospitals, you see some really crappy UI, some, you know, old-looking software, but the hardware is like 10 years ahead. You get so that many of these areas where hardware is like really ruling, but because it's not something that is shiny. Like, it's not something that you're going to swipe, you know, and click like. I know this kind of thing. You're not seeing it in your face every day. So I feel like while software might be at the forefront today, I feel like there's like a revolution. I don't say revolution, but it's like a like something budding in the background. And I feel like if the Nigerian tech ecosystem can tap into it, it would be nice.
Yeah.
Because then there would be like a very mad exposure. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
And it's something I'm actually looking forward to, really. And we have our pioneer on the podcast today, Helen. Yeah. Helen is going to lead the charge. All right, Helen. We are so glad you joined us on this episode today. We are so glad we had you on the podcast. We've actually come to the end of the episode, but we usually round up every episode with one question that we like to ask our guests. It's a really, really, really serious personal question. Please let us know when you're ready to answer.
Wow. That must be a really serious one.
Yeah, it's really anyway. It's really personal. I'm just kidding. Don't mind me. I'm just kidding. So the question is, what would you be doing if you were not in tech? You never went to AppTech. You never got your first Arduino kit. You never built your fire extinguisher, fire alarm, or bulb. But you never went for that break and went back to coding. What would you be doing if you never got involved in tech at all? Do you know what that is?
Well. I think when I was in secondary school, I kind of loved catering.
Oh, okay.
Loved baking. I loved baking and all that. Okay.
Fair enough.
But though, like, I don't even think that would have been what I would do to bake.
Do you need some time? Do you want to take some time to think about it?
Well, I think like, that I feel would like be the skill.
French in this tech that like, sometimes it's so difficult to think without it.
Honestly, right? Like,
because we've gotten some really interesting answers on this podcast.
Honestly,
someone even said he would have been a pastor, and I'm like, that's fair. That's fair.
I think I would have been a teacher. Yes,
That's fine. That's fine. Ketra, it is there. But, you know, thank God you're in tech, you know. All right, Helen, thank you so much for joining us on the episode once again. We're so glad to have you. And, we'll put the link to your socials and where everyone can find you in the show notes. Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Remember, we release new episodes every other Wednesday, and you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. If you would love to connect with us, you can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Inside the Techos, or subscribe to our newsletter and shoot us an email at InsideTheTechosystem@gmail.com. We love hearing from our listeners. You can follow the host on Twitter as well, Chuka at CYDUGU and Emmanuel at Olaoluwa_98. All right, see you in the next one.